All right, joining us now, 93 WIBC, the voice of the Indianapolis 500, the play-by-play broadcaster for IndyCar Radio, Mark Janes. Mark, it's been, just like it has been for many Americans and many Hoosiers, for you as well. It's been kind of weird with this whole coronavirus craziness, because since, the IndyCar season has been put on hold, in a sense, you're kind of out of a job. So what is from your perspective, what has it been like the last couple of weeks?
Well, I mean, actually, both of the things that I do have been essentially all three of the things I do that have been impacted for sure. In addition to being the voice of the 500 and the anchor for the Pennzoil IndyCar Radio Network, I teach communications at Monrovia High School, and schools have been ordered closed through May the 1st. And of course, do a lot of work with the IHSAA Champions Network, and not much going on in terms of the spring sports for sure. So like many, I've been impacted, but I've just been, trying to get over the frustration and the disappointment at the plug being pulled on, first St. Pete and then the next three races, understanding fully, by the way, why that decision was made. But, I always look forward to the chance to recharge during the off season, and once we clear the holidays, the level of anticipation for all of us at the start of another season is just sky high. And to see the way all of that was impacted is certainly disappointing. But we certainly understand why those decisions were made, and I personally see them as the right decisions for sure.
You mentioned St. Pete. That was supposed to be the season opener for the IndyCar season a couple of weeks ago. You guys were already down there, ready to go. Practice was underway. They were still going to do the race. And then where did you find out, how did you find out that not only was St. Pete going to be first, they decided, okay, we'll run the race, but no fans. And then they made the ultimate decision to postpone the race.
Yeah, we arrived on Thursday morning, and they have the Chamber of Commerce in St. Pete has a green flag brunch, and we arrived there on time for that. It got started about a half an hour late, and then, whispers started to fly around the room that, an announcement was going to be made later in the day that would impact the rest of the weekend, and that led to rumors of the event being postponed or canceled. Then, the mayor appeared and said, we'll have an announcement at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And I think that they needed time to put a plan in place. And at 3 o'clock on that Thursday, it was announced that the event would be run with only essential personnel and no fans. We were told there would be one access point and a medical form that you had to fill out, one way in, one way out, and essentially be issued a wristband that designated you as having turned in that medical form. And so on the Friday of that race weekend, Nick Yeoman and Rob Houghton and Dave First went to the track. I didn't even go. I was going to go to a town nearby and visit with my mom, who lives there full time. And so I was listening to a bit of the Indy Lights practice that they were doing. And then within minutes after that Indy Lights session checkered, we were told that the event was going to be postponed and then, of course, canceled. And then it was shortly thereafter, within the next, 24 hours, we learned the first four events would be canceled. And by 11 o'clock Saturday, we were on a plane and headed back to Indiana. We left sunny, 75-degree weather, and I think when we landed, there was about a half an inch of wet snow on the ground, and it was 30 degrees. So that added to the reality, I guess.
Jeez. So you mentioned, so the first four races of the IndyCar season, are they officially canceled, or are they still trying? I know for Long Beach it's canceled. Are they still trying to reschedule some of these other races?
Yeah, that decision goes a little above me. I know that there are X number of races that they're attempting to get in. But there's a lot of moving pieces and parts to rescheduling events. Understandably, it's more difficult to reschedule an event at St. Petersburg or Long Beach because, it involves city streets. Might be a bit easier at a Barber Motorsports Park or Circuit of the Americas because those are permanent purpose-built road courses. I've seen published reports and interviews with the management hierarchy with IndyCar saying that, you know, that doubleheader weekends might be an option at some existing tracks because, as I said, there's a lot involved with contracts in the business side of this to stipulate X number of races in a year, not to mention the fact you don't want to shorten your season unless you absolutely have to. But I think we're so early in all of this in terms of its impact. I'm sure contingency plans are being put in place moving forward, but it's probably too early to say in June we're definitely doing this, in July we're definitely doing this, in August we're definitely doing this. I think we're too early in that process.
Have you talked to any drivers? Do you know how any of the drivers are coping with the season being on hold?
Well, I think the drivers are doing their best to not only keep their skills sharp. I mean, this iRacing thing has really exploded in both NASCAR and IndyCar, and I think that's huge. I think that's great. But, you know, they're doing virtual autographs. They're staying active on social media. And I think they're as frustrated as anybody at the fact that this season was delayed getting underway. But certainly, I commend all of them for doing their best to stay as close to the fans and interact with the fans as much as possible.
And aren't they doing? I know NASCAR did it last week. Is IndyCar doing like a virtual iRacing race this weekend?
Yeah, it'll be Saturday afternoon at 4 for sure. Yeah, and there's another event that's connected to WeatherTech Raceway in St. Louis, and I know that our Rob Howden and Jake Query and Nick Yulmer are all involved in that. So, you know, again, the effort continues. I think I saw some of the numbers that for FS1's NASCAR coverage last weekend of their iRacing event, and the numbers were pretty impressive for them. I mean, obviously, they were very, very happy with those numbers. So I hope for similar success this weekend. And moving forward, and I think, you know, as we've talked about before, among us, you know, normally when tragedy strikes our nation, oftentimes in our world, we're able to turn to sports as an escape, and we don't have that luxury currently, and who knows when we will again. So I guess, you know, there are good things and bad things about social media and technology in this computer age that we're all living in, and we're learning about the good and bad of this each and every day. And while the jury's still out on which one of those two is more true, certainly the good thing about it is that through some of this virtual racing and things of that nature, it does at least allow people to have, you know, some semblance of that sport that they so dearly love as a part of their lives.
We're talking with Mark Janes, the play-by-play voice of IndyCar Radio Network and the voice of the Indy 500, which that is a question in itself that a lot of people here in Indiana are asking, Mark, about will the Indy 500 still be on Memorial Day weekend? The first four races of the IndyCar season have been postponed or canceled, which means the first race of the season will now be the GP at IMS on the road course at the start of May. As of now, we've heard from IMS, they released a statement last week saying we're still good to go, but depending on how long this stay-at-home, shelter-in-place executive order, and how long the CDC, you know, there's a lot of things that go into this. But we're kind of getting closer and closer to Memorial Day weekend. IMS says, hey, we're still good for now. But I want to get your thoughts on, do you think the Indy 500 will still go on as scheduled Memorial Day weekend?
I don't think anyone has the answer to that. I think it's okay to say that, yes, our intentions are to run the Indianapolis 500. Because, what are we, March 23rd, March 24th? We're a ways out. But I also firmly believe that the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, Doug Bowles, and everyone connected with the IndyCar series, going all the way up to Roger Penske, I think will certainly seek the counsel and the guidelines set forth by federal and state government and health officials when it comes to ultimately making the decision. Now, when that date is anyone's guess. But again, I understand. You know, it's a little bit different when you're talking about something like the Olympics, because there are so many qualifying events, you know, that have to be held. And, you know, who knows how it's going to be. And it's more of a, in terms of its participation, you know, the countries are involved, and who knows where they will be moving forward. But, you know, no one knows where we will be moving forward in this country as it pertains to, you know, halting the spread of this virus. So I think as the date gets closer and you start moving toward the middle, maybe toward the end of April, I think those conversations will ramp up a little bit, and perhaps at that time they'll make a decision. But I fully understand why they haven't made that decision yet.
So you think this is a good thing that IMS is kind of holding off? 'Cause you look at other sports, and obviously, you know, the big example is the NCAA when they canceled March Madness, but then also went ahead and said, you know, spring sports also canceled well ahead of when they were supposed to be played. And they got a lot of reaction, both positive and negative, to that. So going with the IMS and everyone involved with the Indy 500, do you think that's a good thing that they're waiting and waiting and waiting until possibly the last second until they have to make a decision?
Well, don't forget, spring sports were essentially underway when the NCAA basketball tournament was underway. There were teams already playing baseball and softball and running track and things of that nature. And so that's why I think that decision was made at that time. And I don't know that the decision that was made by the NCAA is in any way, shape, or form, or should be connected to the decision that the Indianapolis Motor Speedway is facing. And again, I think all of these decisions, be it St. Pete, be it Barber, they're not making that decision in a boardroom on their own. They are seeking the advice and counsel of I'm assuming some pretty significant medical and government officials in terms of determining when it would be a good idea to if they have to, not saying they will, but if they have to. But I just can't see any entity proceeding with an event of that magnitude when all of the experts around them are telling them not to. And that's kind of what I've settled on. I think when the date comes and it becomes obvious, based upon the advice of the council that they've been given by the experts to say, hey, look, we don't think it's a good idea for you to do this, I would like to think that they would follow that suggestion, and I have every confidence that they would.
All right, one final thought, one last question for you, Mark. If IMS comes to the decision and say, all right, we get to that time where they say we're going to have to postpone the Indy 500, looking at the calendar, is there an open date where they could make it, or would they have to – I guess my next question is, would IndyCar cancel other races to make sure the Indy 500 can be run at some point this year?
Well, again, the business side makes that difficult for those outside of us to speculate on, and I'm not one that's prone to speculation. There are plenty of media who hang their hat on that. I do know that, you know, with the recent announcement that the Olympics would be postponed until 2021, that leaves a rather sizable hole in the schedule now for NBC from, I believe it's what, somewhere around July 18th to August 16th. So, you know, there's some opportunities there. But again, a lot of contracts. There's a lot to the business side of this, and it's not as simple as just rescheduling something on a date that you think makes sense. Because you think it makes sense doesn't mean it makes sense from a business standpoint. So, you know, I'm sure every effort will be made to run the Indianapolis 500 in late May. And if it can't run in late May, then I think every effort will be made to get it to a date that makes sense. But we also know that even if it makes sense to a lot of people, there will be some that won't agree with it.
Mark Janes for the IndyCar Radio Network and the voice of the Indy 500 joining us on 93 WIBC. Mark, thank you so much for taking some time with us. We appreciate it.
Yep, glad to, Rob. Thank you.